Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Next to news today that the government is considering a range of changes to how Ukrainians fleeing the war are treated in Ireland as authorities seek to reduce the numbers living in publicly funded accommodation over the coming months. Now, the EU's temporary protection directive under which Ukrainians have come here is due to expire in March of 2026. And for more on this, I'm joined by Jack Horgan-Jones, who's political correspondent with the Irish Times. Jack, thanks for being with us this morning. And you're reporting on this high-level document that has been prepared for ministers to consider. So what's in it?
Good morning, Claire. Yeah, so if you take the document in the round, I suppose it looks like the beginning of moving to a new stage and almost winding down of the scale of provision of accommodation to Ukrainians, those who are fleeing the war. They, as you say, benefit from a temporary protection directive, which allows them to live and work within the European Union automatically on arrival. The most eye-catching measure that's in there is a proposal that's being discussed by officials under which Ukrainians would not be offered accommodation from next March. And that would obviously be a dramatic departure, certainly from the situation as it was originally put in place in early 2022, but it would be in keeping with the gradual tightening that's been underway since October of 2022, where more conditionality has been put around accessing accommodation, more limits put on how long someone can stay. You'll probably recall the 90-day rule that was introduced earlier on this year for new arrivals. So it is in keeping with that general policy direction. Among other options being considered by officials are the introduction of a new maximum stay rule, which would be brought in on those who have been staying in state-funded accommodation for the longest time. And also other policy levers that are being examined include the likes of a kind of income assessment, effectively, whereby if you're in state-funded accommodation, there'd be a economic assessment of your means and your access to state accommodation, maybe curtailed arising from that.
And Jack, how does this fit with our obligations under the EU Temporary Protection Directive? Because as you've explained, and people will probably know, it is under that directive that Ukrainians come here for protection. So what guarantees do they get under that rule or directive?
So the directive itself says when it comes to accommodation that member states will ensure persons enjoying temporary protection have access to suitable accommodation or, if necessary, receive the means to obtain housing. So there's a bit of in the eye of the beholder going on here, but you could certainly imagine someone, an official, making the argument that the means to obtain housing could equally pertain to, you know, the ability to access HAP or some other form of emergency accommodation in line with the benefits that are offered to people ordinarily resident in the state. I think a key issue or a key determinant of whether the government moves forward with this, whether it's something that finds political favour, will be whether other jurisdictions in the European Union have done steps like this. At any point during that tightening process, which I referred to earlier on, the government has always been minded to look at what other jurisdictions are doing, and if there's a premise, or if there's a precedent rather, for moving forward with a tightening step somewhere else within the EU, that has been seen to bring us into line with what others are doing, as opposed to us being out of step, either in the first instance by being more generous or less generous than the mean, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's just interesting that, you know, there seems to be an understanding here that the directive will lapse in 2026. But there's no sign of the war ending.
There's no sign of the war ending. And it's worth pointing out as well that the directive has been extended several times before. But between the jigs and the reels, what I'm picking up is a more serious examination of what may happen in March of 2026. They do seem to be considering, both at a European and a domestic level, what happens the day one after the temporary protection directive is no longer there. So Roderick O'Gorman, the now Green Party leader, has been out before talking about things like funding reconstruction in Ukraine and potentially the issue of incentivized returns. His colleague Joe O'Brien has talked about a pathway to permanency for people who have been here. So this kind of planning is underway, and I believe it is kind of stepping up, and this kind of, you know, this scenario planning, I suppose, for next year and the months that follow is in line with that.
And just in other political news, the controversy over how Sinn Féin dealt with its former press officer, Michael McMonagall, who, as we know, has been convicted of child sex offences. The controversy around that is continuing today, but where do you see it going?
Well, there was an interesting pushback, or at least a more substantial engagement with this story by Sinn Féin yesterday. You had Mary Lou McDonald, the party leader, doing two big broadcast interviews on the Pat Kenny Show and then again on the 6-1 News, and it was mentioned in the Dáil as well. And also Sinn Féin looking to kind of shift the framing and discussing episodes where members of government parties may have supplied character references for people convicted of serious sexual crimes. So trying to kind of move it on in that sense. But I think that they're not off this particularly sticky wicket as of yet, and it looks like it's going to play out for some time to come. There may be statements in the Dáil and Child Protection next week. The government certainly is not of a mind to turn down the heat on Sinn Féin on this. And then, of course, you have the sentencing of Michael McMonagall, which is, as I understand it, due next month. So that will, again, even if it goes off the boil between now and then, breathe fresh life into the controversy.
Okay, Jack, thank you very much for that update. That's Jack Horgan-Jones.